Welcome again. My name is Keith. I'm one of the leaders here. And I want to put a few things on your radar, a few announcements. First off, I don't know what they are, so put the first one up there. Oh, yeah. First Sunday of every month, we wear name tags to help us get to know each other as our church has grown a little bit. So you're probably saying, I don't have a name tag yet. That's okay, because if you're staying afterwards to eat soup and eat bread and kind of hear what God's doing around the world with us, you can put your name tag on before our lunch. That's perfect, right? So name tags, if that'll help us know each other's names, so we don't have to keep saying, hey, dude, or hey, girl. You know, we can do that name tag thing. Secondly, today's our lunch, and we have our missions partner from India, Pastor Babu, with us. And we're going to just kind of talk about what he's doing around the world. He's going to preach today, actually. You're going to hear a lot of it today. But also, we're going to break bread, get to know each other. It's not just about missions. It's also about us being the church together. It'll be our communion meal after service today. And you'll hear a lot of things about what God is doing in us and through us around the world. So I want to encourage you, if you've not signed up, that's okay. Just stay after. Eat soup, eat some bread, and you'll be blown away what God is doing, okay? And then lastly, we don't pass an offering plate around here, but we do worship God with our resources, with our money, with our tithes and offerings. There's boxes by the doors for that, all right? Go like this. Make sure you're listening. Great. All right. Well, as I said, we have a really special guest this morning, a good friend of our church and a good friend of the King. Pastor Babu is going to be with us. He's going to preach through Nehemiah chapter 1 a little bit. We've already covered it, but he's going to kind of come be alongside and come bring some pictures of what it looks like in action for us, okay? And I will encourage you, by the way, if you're texting or emailing Pastor Babu on your iPhone, it does autocorrect to Pastor Baby. And so when you send a mass email out to Pastor Babu and others and it says, Pastor Baby will be with us this Sunday, it's very embarrassing. I'm going to pray. He's going to come up and just kind of talk for around 30 minutes, and then I'll come up afterwards and kind of share what it means for our church to really respond. But Pastor Babu, why don't you come up? Let me pray, and then I'm going to give him the microphone. God, thank you so much for my friend who has blessed my family, has blessed our church, has given us a vision for what you're doing around the world. Thanks for bringing us to him in a miraculous way. God, I pray that you would open your scriptures and open our hearts through him. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. I think you can do it better. Praise the Lord. You're not one of those frozen chosen, right? Or chosen frozen. We have all reason to praise him this morning because we are alive. We could breathe today. We are out of the ventilator, right? And I thank you for the church for giving me an opportunity to share today and also get to see you all. And thank you for being with us. In sponsoring the children and helping the ministry. I think maybe 4 years back I came just to the church and gave the need, and you have immediately respond to the need. Can you understand me? Okay, like I'm kind of speaking in Hinglish, right? You know, if you have any question, you know, after the church, you can stop me and ask me. You know, I know that feeling. You know, you know, maybe years back in 2001, I was speaking to a big congregation in Liberty University, and I was sharing my heart with them and telling them stories, and you know, like after the, you know, big speech, a few people came to me and said, Pastor, you know, we know your heart is really broken for the souls, but we didn't understand many of the things. Would you please explain? So since Pastor Keith gave me 1.5 hours today to speak, I have a lot of things to share with you this morning, and am I right? In India, we say IST, Indian Standard Time, but we also say Indian Stretchable Time. So, with, you know, if I am stretching too much, you can, you know, walk, or you can say, okay, that's the end of it, right? I thank you very much for the Pastor Keith and the family. They have been always listening to me, especially when I share about the ministry and the burdens they always take up in prayer and supporting us. And Brother John has been so kind enough to, every month he calls me and talks to me about mission work. And I'm thankful for especially Kathy and Dale that accommodating me last night in their home and being very hospitable, and all other friends met yesterday, and we had a good evening. I wanted to share with you some of the things that really blessed me for last so many years being in the ministry, almost 22 years in the ministry. And don't ask me how old you are. Somebody asked me yesterday, you have been talking about all these years. How old are you? Like, I'm a little bit, above 18, like a few years back, I was 18, like some of you. But I've been so blessed with the family back in Fort Myers. I have three girls, Sarah, Sharon, and Shreya. And one beautiful wife, and we are blessed. We have a small Indian, small church in Fort Myers. Really nice weather there. If you want to come to Fort Myers, you let me know. So I wanted to thank this church for sending your ladies to India. Do you want to hear what they did? Well, they stole the heart of our children and the ministers back in India. They were a little timid and reluctant in the beginning, but before they go, they asked me questions. But they went there, and boy, they can preach. They can teach and they can preach, and they may take over one day. Be careful. Men, stand out. the kids always, they just love them, and the kids, hugging them and being a mother and a sister to them, and it means a lot to them. And thank you for taking up all the sponsorship, and there are still left a few many children back there, so you can pick it up on your way back and take him home, take her home. This morning I wanted to talk a little bit from the Word of God, because it's all about the Word of God. The Word of God heals, and the Word of God, heals the broken heart and gives peace that passes all understanding and gives the knowledge and take away the loneliness and, the presence of God right now in the midst of us. Do you believe that? I'm kind of holding on to my paper and Bible, and, so I want it to be more like a stretching hand, but I can't. So just forgive me for that. But from Book of Nehemiah, a few words that we will read. My sermon would be from covering from verses 1 to 11, but I'm going to read verse 3. If you have the right Bible with you, then you can look up the Bible, and the words from chapter 3, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereon are burned with the fire. Well, these are the words came to Nehemiah. After hearing about the affliction of his people, what did he do? He prayed, and the Bible says he was grieving, and he was in pain, and he prayed. In other way, he was broken in spirit, and he was. What do we react today? You read a newspaper every day, watch the TV every day. The ISIS doing to people in Iraq, and beheaded people, beheaded and burned alive and buried alive, and do so many things, and so many kids become orphans, and so many ladies become widows. And how do we react and respond to those things? What do you think if Nehemiah was alive today, how would he respond to it? Of course you pray, we pray always a common prayer. Lord, we pray for world peace. Is that enough? We study from the Word of God. And we hear from the servant of God and the sermons, and, you know, we can make so many sermons, and also we can, you know, we are good people that we know so many things about Bible, and how do we respond to the Word of God when we read the Word of God and study the Word of God? Because Bible says, God so loved the world, He gave His begotten Son, not for just Riverside Church or church in India or church. He loved the world. So it's like even people, the terrorist group in ISIS, did God love them? God loved them. It's responsible for us to pray. Even for them to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. I was reading about Jim Elliot going to Ecuador, you know, to the Kwa Indian tribes. They were very hostile and killing people. Anybody enter into their province, they will kill. You know, in 1952, he came out of his comfort zone and decided to go to this place. And he knows that it means his life. And he was willing to lay down his life. And he went there, he was martyred. But his dear beloved wife and his daughter stepped out. You know, those people become believers. What an impact. Look at the life of Hudson Taylor. Many years back, listening to the Word of God, maybe one of you, you know, sitting like one of you, a child in the Sunday school, any missionary come to speak in his church, and the child will be so careful and sad when he knew that there are people in the world dying without knowing about Christ. He responded one day, he stepped out of the comfort zone and the church and went to the China. 50,000 people were baptized, 120,000 people came to the Lord. One person's reaction towards God's calling. How do we react? How do we respond to the calling that God gave us? God said, under heaven, upon earth, all power is given unto you. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel. How much do we take it? How much take that responsibility and go out? He prayed. He prayed unto the Lord. He prayed for forgiveness. Lord, forgive us. Forgive our people. Lord, forgive ISIS. Forgive this terrorist. So there's a great responsibility in us. Whether you believe it or not, being a Christian, you know who is missionary? You know who is missionary? A person with Jesus is always a missionary. Not just a pastor. And what is the mission field? A person without Christ is your mission field. You know, so we are called to preach the gospel. We are called to reach the unreached people. And this man here, he is grieving and praying for the deliverance because God's people are in reproach and affliction. He didn't have peace of mind. He didn't have to. He's a cupbearer in the palace, king's place. He has a safe job. He could lose his job. Just like Esther, book of Daniel. Daniel cries unto God. And Esther, they did not look for their life. Bible says if you lay down your life, and when we come to Christ, nevertheless, I live like Christ liveth in me. So it's all about Christ. It's all about Christ-centered life. And Nehemiah prayed unto God. Did God answer Nehemiah? Church, hello church. Did God answer Nehemiah? Yes. You know what was the first answer? God gave him favor in the presence of king. God gave him favor. Will God listen to our prayer today? Do you believe that? Book of James says that we are also human beings just like Elijah. What does it mean? You and me have the same power as Elijah. You know Elijah, what Elijah did? Elijah prayed not to have rain for 3.5 years in the land. Elijah prayed, the fire came from heaven. 450 false prophets. Do you have that power today? Do you believe that power? Do you exercise on that? Do I exercise on that? Will God listen to our prayer today? Yes, of course. Bible says in Mark, whenever you pray, believe that it's going to be received or you are going to get it. When you pray, don't doubt. Just pray that God is going to do it. That His name be glorified in His Son. You know, this morning, I'm not trying to teach you something new. You all know about it. But I just wanted to challenge you this morning. Be more courageous. Be more prayerful. Without prayer, you can't do anything. We are powerless people. You know, in Sunday school, we teach that more prayer, more power. Less prayer, less power. No prayer, no power. This morning, He listened to our prayer. Why should He listen to our prayer? Why should He hear our prayer? Because we are children of God. He has adopted us into His family. He called us to be children of God. He said, I give you all the power. You know, we are redeemed by the blood of Christ. You know, what do you mean by redemption? Somebody asked me, what do you mean by redemption? What do you mean by redemption? Redeeming. I'll tell you a small story to make it clear. Okay, one person was sentenced to death. Okay, one person is sentenced to death. And tomorrow he is going to be hanged to death. Maybe tomorrow is last day. And today somebody comes and tells that, oh, brother, you know, the lotto, you know, what do you call it here, lottery? That you are holding on to, you know, $50 million, you want the lottery. Do you think that can make that person happy? $50 million, man. But what about if the judge rewrite the verdict that I am going to let him go free? What would make him happy? The verdict. The verdict upon was hell, eternal hellfire, death. Everyone have sinned and came to the short of the glory of God. But Jesus gave His life on the cross that you and me be free. Praise the Lord. You know, at the age of 17, I was absolutely lost. My brother killed himself. And I was on the way to kill myself. Somebody shared the gospel with me, the love of Christ with me, and set me free forever. That's what I'm preaching for the last 22 years. Praise the Lord. If anybody here today did not accept Jesus as personal Savior, I'll tell you that will be the best decision that you can take this morning. Just give your life to the Lord. And Nehemiah prayed, and God heard his prayer. And God answered his prayer. And not only the king approved him to go, but also provided him to go. What a merciful God we have. You know, many times we pray doubting. You know, there are a lot of story I can tell about my life being prayer answered. We got married and we didn't have children. I told the church last time, but there may be new people in the church. I want to tell you that we have been praying for our own kid. And the doctor said my wife can never get conceived or never can have our own baby. You know what, we start taking orphans in our home, take care of, you know, you don't have a children, you know how the ladies will feel seeing a pregnant woman or seeing a little kid. My wife was always in pain. She didn't want to go for any functions or, you know, anywhere people gather, they ask, And these little kids, orphans, start praying for us to have children, and God gave us children. How much He loves us. How much He loves us, still we doubt. And there was a time then when we had 29 kids in our orphanage, and they don't have a mattress to sleep. It's a cold. We have been praying, and the children have been praying for mattress, blankets. One fine morning, a truck comes inside the orphanage campus, drops 50 mattresses. And we asked, who brought it? They said, you don't need to know that. You know, my master told me to drop it here. What an awesome God we serve. How little things. A few years back, me and my family we were praying that God, we wanted to go back to India so badly. My children wanted to see the mission field, and my wife, we wanted to see our parents. And, you know, we have been praying that for providence to go back to India and see our people, the church. And you know what? There shows up a check in my mail. Covers my ticket to India. If you have any doubt, you can ask Pastor Keith. That's all I can say. I'm not trying to cook up any stories. It's real things. And God is interested in your little minute things in your life because He loves you so much. He loves you so much. The grace is only for human being. Mercy for all the generation creations, but grace is only for people. You know, the angel sinned against God. He cut him down from heaven. And the hell was made for the angel who disobeyed God. Not for human being. But men sinned again and again. He killed His Son on the cross. That is the love of God for us. That is the love of God for us. This morning, realize that love. That He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be crucified for your sin and my sin. To take away our sin. He loves us so much. This morning, give our life to Him. You know, it means a lot too. But I can tell you that from my experience, you can trust Him. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's going to be with you in your toughest life, when you're broken, when you're lonely, when you're rejected, when you're a failure, when you feel like you don't have anybody. He's going to be with you. And you can completely trust in Him. From my experience, I want to share you that. Many people ask me, why you do this job? You know, you don't need to take care of orphans. And I said, why don't I do it? I was orphaned one day. God has adopted me into His family. My own earthly parents rejected me because I came to this, you know, to serve God. You know, there will be, as the Bible says, Nehemiah took up a step. It's only not only the prayer, there was an action after the prayer. He was ready to go. He was ready to go. There were people against them, opposing them. It's not going to happen. We will not let that happen. But if God is with you, who can be against you? Many a times in the mission field, we had problems. I was this close being assassinated a couple of times. I was under hideout 6 months. I couldn't even see my own children. But God has opened the door for us. God has opened the door for us. Once there were 365 children staying with us. 365 orphan kids. And the enemy planned everything to destroy us. They tried to hunt me down and kill me. That's when I had to flee away from India for a while. But did that stop? No. We changed our strategy. We started small homes. We have 5 homes right now we have back in India that always pray for you. And we need your prayer. We need you to stand with us. Not only Nehemiah prayed, we went ahead to build the wall. And God made him a mighty leader. A lot of disciples, leaderships. If one of you step out in faith, and God is going to use you mightily, no shadow of doubt, God is going to use you because it's the promises of God. He's not looking at our resources or ability, our availability, just being available for his call. And this many years, we were really enjoying the fellowship of God every day, the provision of God, the protection of God. And being answered, you know, we were praying for a last time when I came in, if I remember, 10 December, you know, I have asked the church to pray for buying a piece of land because there was a new rule in India. If the children home do not have their own land and building, the government will take away the children from the home. And we have been praying and, you know, the land we sort down with the land, and it was costing $200,000. And everybody asked, you know, it's a third world country, why the land is so expensive? You know, the population, we have more, you know, four times more than American population, and the space is four times less than America. So it's so expensive. And I made a decision, you know, I went down there and saw a piece of land, and I stood there and prayed, Lord. You know, he says in, you know, it's, you know, the spiritual way, we say, we claim over the land, you know. I claimed, let this land be ours, you know. And we had $5,000, you know, put down as a down payment and made a decision. He said, I'll give you 5 months period to make the payment, if you could. And I came back, and even some of my board members, I told, you know, that we're going to raise $200,000. They said, are you crazy? We don't have enough sponsors for orphans. 200,000? And my first visit, I will always remember, my first visit was to this church, preaching about raising $200,000. Is Joe here? Come on in, Joe. Come on. Let me see the fine gentleman today. You know, while after my preaching, I don't know how many of you were there last time when I was here. After my preaching was done, this fine preacher, right, great missionary, he bought me a jar full of coins and nickels and, you know, and said, Pastor Babu, use this for buying the land. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you for that faith. You know, you are having great faith, right? Yes. Praise the Lord. And thank you. Thank you. You know, as a human being, we'll think, what in the world? Maybe $10 in that, you know, jar going to make a difference buying $200,000 land? Of course, the church, after that, the church gave us $10,000. And I was thinking that this church doesn't have a building of their own. Every Sunday, they come up together and put together things. And, you know, from the truck, they bring things and put together. And they're giving money for making a building for orphans or buying the land. And that's a big faith. You know what? One by one. There's only 4 days left that I had to go back to India and buy this land. Otherwise, we will lose the money that we put towards. By the time we put almost like a $50,000 down payment. If I don't buy the land, we'll lose it. Absolutely, we'll lose the money. 4 days before, there comes a check, $120,000 check. Praise the Lord. Are you jealous of it? Why don't you say amen? Praise the Lord. You didn't bring your check. It's okay today. That's fine. At least we can say, amen, praise the Lord. We bought the land. We had also $10,000 excess. Then it came around $200,000 raising again for building the building for the children. And it again came as a miracle. And God gave us again favor. because it was for his children. You know, now we are going to, okay, we are in trouble now. You should pray today. Lord, don't talk to me today, please. You know, then we are praying for a piece of land we want to buy in Kolkata. We have two homes now. In between, so many things happened, so many pain that we had gone through. Our children were taken away from us for a while, but God restored back. We are praying for raising 250,000 to buy the piece of land. Don't think it is impossible. You know, the first thing come to our mind, it's going to happen. And somebody already gave $185,000. One check. Promised. I believe it's going to happen. Don't you believe? We have raised another rest of the money. Pastor Keith will be telling all those stories. But I just wanted to tell you that our God is faithful. If we step in faith, in obedience to his call, just step out. Not only about money I'm talking about, but even our spiritual life, spiritual walk with God, that you may feel sometime, you know, it's laid back and you may feel backsliding. You may feel discouraged and lonely and so many things. You feel like, I don't want to worship God. I'm not worthy. I can't do it, you know, because I'm not right with God right now. I'm not praying, you know, I'm not reading Bible. I'm not walking a walk with God. But I want to tell you this morning, our Father is a merciful Father. He don't look back into your life, you know, like many others, you know, oh, you did that last year, you know. We may forgive, but we don't forget. You know, we say, I know last time you said the same thing. Our God don't count like that. He says, it's okay, son. I'm forgiving you again. This morning, come to him and say, Lord, forgive me. And forgive those people who are persecuting Christians. Lord, forgive them. Send the missionaries there. So somebody may go and talk to them, and those people may be changed. They may come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Can you grieve and pray like Nehemiah prayed to the Lord? Otherwise, there's no need in reading and meditating or studying about the Word of God if you cannot step out in little faith and make applicable to your life and take an action today and make a decision. Lord, I'm going to act upon the Word of God. I'm going to believe the Word of God. I'm going to know that you're going to do it for your glory. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know how God is talking to you today. I know definitely God is speaking to you this morning. Not through me, the Spirit of God is talking to you this morning. Let your spirit be free. Give it to him. Lay yourself down and think about God and his mercy and his kingdom. And thank you once again. May the God bless you all. Thank you for being patient, listening to me, you know, my English, you know. But I'm trying to brush up my language. But I wanted to challenge you this morning. We are very power-packed people. We're just like Elijah, Daniel, David. We are very power-packed people because we have Christ in us. The creator of all universe. The King of kings and the Lord of lords within us. We are the temple of God. Don't underestimate your power. Don't underestimate your limits. You have a great power in you. Me. May the God bless you all. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord.
I'll tell you the story behind our partnership. We new church 5 years ago, so we have a heart for two things, the widow and the orphan, and church planning. So we look for a missions partner that does both, and we actually worked with a company in Colorado that kind of vets international missions, because obviously there's you wonder, like, was this legit or not? So we worked with a company called Hope Chest, and they had known Pastor Babu. And we told Hope Chest we want to be about orphans and widows, but also about church planting. And if you don't know about India, it's 2.7% Christian. Delhi, which is where one of the children's home is 0.7% Christian. Calcutta, where the other children's home is 0.8% Christian. And what Pastor Babu did not tell you is that there's also a bunch of pastors being raised up there and planting churches left and right, and it's amazing. In 2007, Pastor Babu was run out of the country. I mean, there was a lot of persecution. The Hindu government had changed over, and he was ran out. Thankfully, his wife is a nurse, an amazing lady, and she got a card to work here as a nurse in Fort Myer. So that's where they're at here in America, and they go back once or twice a year to really do some leadership development, but every day he's in contact with the leaders there. I will tell you, I have had the privilege of walking the streets with Pastor Babu in India. I remember walking to a leper colony, having him talk to people, and this blind lady, probably from over there, going, "Babu! Babu!" I mean, hadn't been there for a year. She heard his voice. I mean, just went to his feet. "Babu." I mean, the impact is unbelievable. What is also about this man is he's humble. He's got a Bible degree. He's built a school in India. It's amazing. He's built orphanages. I've seen it. He's worked in leper colonies where, I mean, people consider him just like their dad. In Fort Myer, he works at a Walgreens doing the photo booth processing. Because here in America, that's kind of what he's paying the bills with. So just a neat partnership. And I just am so thankful. He has blessed me so much, teaching me how to pray, teaching me how to be a pastor, teaching me what it means to sacrifice and love the people. And for our church, there's many ways that we come alongside India. As I said, we're about church planting and about the widows and the orphans. And by supporting their ministry, we do both. Now, there's two ways today I'm going to encourage you to respond. One, part of you are going, "I've got no money." That's okay. You got to understand, these kids pray for us every morning. And anyone who's gone to India on these trips, you'll know, they pray for Riverside by name every single day. They consider us their American parents. We must do the same. We must do the same. So you're like, "I have no money." That's okay. There's these cards with a picture and information about each kid out there. Everyone in this church needs to get one of these and be praying for these kids by name every single day, the same way they pray for us. What's going on in India, if you know anything about the government changeover, it's a dark thing right now for believers. I want to encourage you, pray for these kids, get this. Also, we do a $35 a month kind of sponsorship thing. These are our packets. We've made these. Each kid has got a packet with their name, about them, a little bookmark that's gone so you can kind of keep them in prayer. And you're saying, you know, I want to financially give. What we do is $35 a month per kid kind of thing. Pastor Babu came 4 years ago, and all the kids in the Delhi orphanage, we were able to sponsor like that. It was amazing to see this church respond. The orphanage has grown. There's now a children's home in Calcutta, actually two of them. Our ladies who visited the Calcutta homes, there was a second boys' home that we hadn't had contact with, and they figured, "We'll just go there, meet the boys, play a bit, and leave." Well, the boys stole their heart. And it's just one of those where, so they have packets now too. And so if you're not sponsoring a kid, I want to encourage you to pray about that. If you're going financially, "I can't do that," that's okay. Get one of these prayer cards. We're all joining in with this partner this way. You're saying, "Keith, I don't have a lot of money. I got to pick between giving to the church or giving to this Asha thing." Give to this. This should be your first, okay? If you're like, "I don't have a lot," do this first, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, do this before you give to the church. I believe this passionately about this. I just do. There's packets out there. There's pictures out there. And we're also going to now have a lunch together, a communion meal. We're going to share in Jesus' name, and we're going to share stories. The ladies in their saris are going to come up and kind of share what they've learned. They're going to have a video of what happened in India, what they've seen. There'll be stories and lots of prayer, okay? So that's what we're going to do now. I'm going to pray. We're going to dismiss you guys. I'm going to encourage you to go to the cafeteria or visit the table out there and look at these packets. If you have any questions, talk to me. Talk to Pastor Boo. Talk to Rachel and the ones in the saris, Kathy Sri. They're called saris. Am I? Saris. Come talk to me. It's amazing what God is doing around the world. It's amazing. We should be part of that, which is incredible. And the stuff that we're doing globally, he's doing here locally too. You've heard this stuff. As we've gone through Nehemiah, what he's doing with the beacon, what he's doing with our city, the favor he's been showing, it's been amazing. Be part of what God is doing here, part of what God is doing around the world. What a privilege. What a privilege. So let me pray. Would you all stand? I'm going to send you out to talk to Pastor Babu, to look at these packets, to get a prayer card, and to eat a soup meal with us and to hear more stories. God, I thank you for my friend. I thank you for his ministry. I thank you for his heart. I thank you that you have blessed us, that you have privileged us to be part of what you're doing in this world, in this city of South Bend, through Hope Ministries and through Camp Rayburn and through the Beacon and through people who are rubbing shoulders with folks at the workplace and sharing the gospel. You have privileged us as missionaries here in South Bend. You've privileged us as we've sent Jessica to the Congo, about send the carpenters to Purdue in ministry. You've blessed us to be part of what you're doing in those areas, and you've blessed us and you've privileged us to be part of what you're doing in India. God, I pray for protection. We pray for those kids and all three children's homes. But you'd bless them and keep them, that your face would shine upon them, that you'd be gracious to them, that they would know the love of the Father. Through their caretakers, through Pastor Babu, through our church. God, break our heart for the things that break yours. For our neighbors who don't know you. For the women I see every day walking Lincoln Way at nighttime. For the kids that come to the Beacon with no fathers. For the kids in India who are living in a children's home. And all around, God, just break our hearts for the thing that break yours and move us and move us. God, thank you for this privilege. Thank you this is all possible because of your Spirit in us, because of the work of Jesus on the cross. As we now share a meal together in your name, we say, bless this food to our body, bless our conversation, and we say, have your way. In your name, Jesus, amen. Let me speak a blessing, then you're free to go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may you go compelled by the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.